Good morning again. I'm Angela, for those of you who don't know me. And today, as we have been hearing, it is the festival, Christian festival of Pentecost. We have a number of festivals, don't we, in our Christian calendar. We have Christmas, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we tell the stories. We have Easter, which we had quite recently, a couple of months ago, where we listen to the stories of how Jesus died and was rose from the dead. And we tell those stories to remind ourselves what happened, to know our history, to know the line of God's work that we're standing in. But as I was thinking about Pentecost this week and preparing for today, it struck me that there's something a little bit different about Pentecost as a Christian festival. Because at Christmas, we remember the birth of Jesus, but we're not expecting to see him being born again, like a rebirth. And at Easter, we celebrate and we remember and we know all the implications of Jesus having raised from the dead, but we're not looking for him to bodily walk into the room. But at Pentecost, we're celebrating something which we, and it comes with a kind of expectation that something will actually happen at the time, that we will experience something of what did happen in that first time that we celebrated it. Because we know that that first celebration was the start of the event. The one that we just read about was the start of the event. And I think there's a key phrase in there, which I've picked out on the next slide. If we go to there, we say all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. But as we read on in the book of Acts, if we look at the next slide, we see that there's probably more. But I've picked out four instances in the book of Acts, which is over quite a large number of years, quite a lot of years, where it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That happened not on the day of Pentecost, but later as they were praying in a room. And then somewhere else, a different part of the land in Samaria, it says they received the Holy Spirit. And then when Peter was preaching to Cornelius, who wasn't even a Jewish person, and it says the Spirit fell on them all, and the people there were amazed because it was even the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. And then later on again in Ephesus, which is even in a different country, not in part of the traditional Holy Lands, it says the Holy Spirit came on them and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying, which is exactly the same things that we saw happen in that first instance on the day of Pentecost. So the same things are happening. We see the same things. They spoke the word boldly. They prophesied. They spoke in tongues. And when I was thinking about this, actually, Lisa sent me a little video which picks up on the same idea. And because it kind of resonated with me, I thought we would just listen to it now and think about the fact that we still are in this line of things happening which just began on that day, and we can experience it as a continuation of the thing that happened. So if we are able to have the video, never trust technology, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't really matter. Thank you. So I thought today that we would, I'm going to share some stories with you that relate to the verses that we have seen, so that we can see how what was happening then is happening now, because it can be quite difficult to see it. We, you know, there's so much else going on in the world, as I'm sure there was then. The Jewish people were all in Jerusalem for a festival, so they were all busy doing something else. They weren't expecting Pentecost that day. The people in the room weren't expecting it. The people outdoors who were busy celebrating, you know, the festival of the Jewish festival of Pentecost certainly weren't expecting it. They had to see what was happening in amongst all the other busyness of what was going on. So I'm going to tell you five little stories, and they help us to see in storytelling who we are, what we value, and what we can look out for. And by hearing it, it encourages us. I was really encouraged when I heard these. I mean, only one of them, I have included one that happened to me because I thought I'd better. But the other four, I wasn't there, but the person who was there told me about it, and it really encouraged me. And now I'm passing it on to you to encourage you, because that's part of the blessing of storytelling. And three of these stories, this first one included, is one that just happened within the last week. And there's a story of this man called Dean. And he was brought along to church by a friend. And after the service, somebody from the church spoke to him, somebody called Jack. And Jack said to Dean, how did you find it? And Dean was absolutely overwhelmed by the service that he'd been in. He'd not been in church before. He'd just come along with his friend to see what was going on. And he said, I don't know what to make of it. I feel like, I feel like I'm sort of being told off and loved all at the same time. And I don't know how to understand. He said, in my life, I have been a bit naughty, you know. And then Jack was able to say to him, do you know what that is? That is the presence of God that you're experiencing. God is like a father to us. And anybody here who's a parent knows that parenting is all about telling off and loving as much as you can, isn't it? And isn't it lovely that he felt that? And Jack said to him, you know, all of us here, we've all been a bit naughty. And those people up the front, all they're doing is sharing about their experiences in life and how they have come through to be able to know more of that love of God. So what Jack was doing was interpreting for Dean what was happening. He was saying, this thing that you're feeling, this is what it is. He was pointing him to God to say, this is what you've glimpsed, and this is where it leads. It leads towards knowing God as your Father who will always love you. In fact, I remember him saying, it's just come back to me, that he said, you know, this, it's not the building that makes you feel like that. The building will crumble. And it's not the people, because the people will always let you down. It is God, and he will never let you down. He will always be there and always love you just as much as that. So he was able to do what, in a way, Peter was doing on the day of Pentecost. He was interpreting the events for the people listening. The people outside didn't have a clue what was going on. And Peter said, you know, what you see now, that's God. And Jack was saying to Dean, what you feel now, that's God. You might want to respond to it a bit more. Now, the second story I'm going to tell is actually from last year. It's somebody called Lisa, and she was on a mission in France. It was like a street mission. I can't quite remember where it was, actually, but she didn't really speak any French. They were out on the street, and they were praying for people, and they were praying in tongues some of the time. Now, I happen to know Lisa is not overconfident in praying in tongues, but she decided she was going to have a go for it. So she did some praying in tongues. I think they were doing drama and, you know, like street missions do, and I'm sure some of the people could speak French, and they had some interpreters and things. But there was some people there who she was praying for, and she was praying in tongues. And another little group nearby came over and said to her, how come you speak Portuguese? And she said, I don't know. I don't speak Portuguese. I've never spoken Portuguese. And they said, well, you were just praising God in Portuguese. Now, isn't that exactly like we had just heard about in the Pentecost? People from different countries were hearing the praising of God in their own language. Now, a lot about tongues is difficult for us to understand, isn't it? But something I know is that that event pointed the people who heard it to God. In Pentecost, the people were amazed. That's the thing it says. The people were amazed. And those people in the French place where they were doing the mission, they were amazed. So, I mean, Lisa doesn't know what happened to them afterwards. They had a bit of a conversation and she explained about what it was, what was going on. She was pointing them to God. So they left being amazed, having their interest like really hooked, and knowing that the place they needed to find the answers was God. And that brings me on to thinking about the fact that quite often we don't know the end of the story. When those disciples were praising God in all the different languages that they'd never spoken before, they probably didn't even know that they were speaking in known languages, and the people were being amazed. They didn't know what happened to those people. They were just fulfilling the thing which God had given them to do at that moment. And I think we need to sometimes remember that. I was reminded of it when Chris was speaking a couple of weeks ago, and he was sharing some stories about how he had talked to people he comes across in his life and his activities, and he was talking to them about God. And he said to me afterwards, he said, "Oh, well, I don't know if any of them became Christians, but I don't think that's really it, is it? We can have an expectation that we talk to someone and we bring them all the way through to, like, you know, praying the prayer in one step. It doesn't work like that. We want to point them to God. We want to amaze them. We want to hook them in. We want them to explore more so that when they come to make a decision, they're ready to really give their whole lives to God." And that's what Lisa was doing, and that's what the disciples were doing at Pentecost. That's what Chris is doing by just engaging people and speaking out the thing which needs to be done in that instance. And it takes a bit of boldness for everyone who does it, but it's just the thing that is that step for that time. And I'm going to just share a little story about not knowing what happened to anybody after the story, but of something which happened to me about a couple of years ago, when my daughter Rachel, she used to work in the coffee shop, Coffee Number One in Westbury-on-Trim, if any of you have been there. It's not nearly as good as it was when she was there, so don't bother going now. But one time when she was the assistant manager, they had an open mic night in the evening. They're normally shut in the evening. And she was trying to find some little slots, you know. So being the mother, I said, OK, I'll do my star turn. I think it was October. Star turn, I can play any Christmas carol on the recorder. I mean, it was that kind of level of thing, so I came and played a few Christmas carols on the recorder. She can play the piano and the saxophone, so she did that. And there was a guitarist who did like the first half, so it wasn't too bad. But I thought, oh, if they're really looking for anything, what could I actually offer? What's the best thing I could offer? The best thing I could offer is about 5 minutes a slot, is to tell them about Jesus. And I thought, well, how do I tell them about Jesus in a way that's going to be engaging and not really embarrassing in 5 minutes? Because my daughter did work there, you know. I thought, well, the thing that I know that I trust God to do is to speak into people's hearts when I'm praying for them, as he would with when anybody's praying for them. So I thought that I would do some prayer ministry, as we call it, in the 5 minutes. Now, I needed a volunteer who I didn't really know, and there was about 50 people there, I should think. But there was one guy I did check with him before that he was happy. He was doing one of the other things. He was sort of slightly theatrical guy, a bit older than me, called Charles. In fact, he was a regular in the coffee one, and Rachel used to call him Porridge Charles because he always had porridge. So, and there was Foot Charles who did feet, but Porridge Charles was there. And I'd spoke to him before because he was going to do one of the turns, and I think he was sharing a poem he'd written or something like that. So I knew that he was used to being up front and he wasn't going to be too embarrassed. But I didn't know anything about his spirituality or anything like that. I said, "I'm going to get people up and I'm just going to say a prayer." I said, "You don't have to say anything. Are you happy to do that?" He said, "Yes." Well, I tell you what, during the whole evening, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do this. It didn't really matter. There wasn't an order of running or anything. But in the end, I thought, oh, just do it, you know. And I sort of imagined that it could have been a little bit like that at Pentecost. Like, Peter didn't know what was going to happen that day. He was suddenly caught on the hop. He had to get up and speak. He hadn't prepared what he was going to say. He had thought a lot about God, and he had come a long way since Easter in terms of his understanding of what it all meant and being told to wait. But it was in the moment that he must have worked out about, oh, this is what it meant when Joel was prophesying. You know, that the Spirit will come on all people. This is that. And he had to think, oh, I wonder if I should think about it some more, or shall I just stand up and say? He just had to be bold and draw on the strength that the Holy Spirit has. Now, I know I was in a bit of a different situation, but you know, you draw help from wherever you can in that sort of thing. So I decided to go for it, and I got Charles up. And when I'm doing prayer ministry, like when we used to pray on the streets, I would often say to people, what would you like God to do for you? Because that tells me where their heart is and kind of what they have faith for. And I literally can't remember what he said, and I can't remember what he prayed, what I prayed. But as I prayed, there was complete silence in the room, and Charles was standing there, and he was tearing up. He was starting to cry. He was so overwhelmed. I mean, like anybody could pray, because you just pray for things you know, like God sees you, God loves you. God wants to bring out the best for you in your life. God wants to meet the desires of your heart. I mean, he had certain things, he'd done his little turn already, so I knew something about what he cared about, and I just prayed into those things. And it was a little bit difficult to know how to finish, because everybody was just sitting in silence, and quite a few people came and spoke to me afterwards. And you know, some people had connections with church, there was obviously some other Christians in the audience, some people didn't come and speak to me, but everybody went away having seen something that made them think. You know, they thought, this is different to the sort of God that I've heard about before. Charles was very overwhelmed, and he definitely wanted to come to church. And I can't remember what day of the week it was. It wasn't a Sunday. He did come to church the next Sunday, but he got the address wrong, went to a different church, so I didn't see him. But he did turn up at the church where I was at that time. He came a few times, but he did find that when he came into church, he didn't encounter the same spirituality, the same presence as what we had had in that moment. But all the same, he, you know, he's obviously a seeker, and he has touched onto something that can... that he wants more of. And that's what we want to be doing, isn't it? And then even the story and telling the story is reminding me of it. So the story is kind of like having a continuing action, isn't it? By being retold, it's encouraging us to think, yes, we could do that too. So moving on from that, another story that happened last week. A guy called Liam, who was in church, and he was sitting on his own. He wasn't the sort of person who you might imagine was going to be searching for God. He was just sitting on his own, on his phone, and he was the sort of piercings and tattoos, young man. And somebody called, Josh went up to him and said to him, you know, have you been in church before? And he said, it's my second week. Last week was my first week. I went to a different church. I'm trying out some churches and I've come here. So Josh said, oh, well, what's brought that on then? And he said, well, I don't know really. I've just been thinking that I might like to find out more about God. So I went and bought myself a Bible. This is this tattoos, piercings guy. And I started at the beginning, and it was a bit confusing because it was all names. So I looked on the internet and found a video that told me I should start in a gospel. So I've been reading Matthew. And he says, I don't know what's happening because I just keep crying and laughing and smiling all at the same time. I'm just crying and smiling. And Josh was able to say to him, that is the Spirit of God working in you. And I don't know whether you've picked up on it, but there is a sense at the moment in the country, I keep hearing about it from different people, of what's been sort of termed a quiet revival, of the Spirit of God working in people where they are and just leading them, drawing them into finding out more about God. People, like, not through Christians, not through having seen anything, but just wanting more. I think some of it is we've seen, and it's often young men, a lot of young men are feeling a bit disillusioned, apparently. I obviously don't know myself, but, you know, this is what you hear. And some of them are moving towards, you know, all the radical stuff that we hear from the Andrew Tate stuff, the misogyny and that type of thing. But not all of them are. Some of them are being drawn to find out more about sort of where's the meaning? Perhaps God's got some answers. Perhaps religion's got some answers that I could find out about. And those stories are really encouraging. If you hear any, you don't need to be the person, but if you hear any stories, come and share them, because it's so encouraging to hear. This guy, Liam, was sitting there, not being in, his second time in church, really wanted to find out more. And Josh said to him, well, why don't you sign up for an Alpha course? Because, you know, that tells you about... He said, that sounds perfect. Signed up there and then. Couldn't wait. I don't think it starts for a bit, but, you know, he'll probably come to church in the meantime. You know, we need to be ready, don't we, to be able to interpret for people what is happening. We need to be ready with what we know to be able to take those sorts of opportunities. You know, all of these stories are about people who... They knew them God enough themselves that when they saw it, they could recognize what was going on, they could articulate it, and they could point the people towards God. And that's what we want to be able to do. And one of the ways we do that is by just sharing stories of ordinary people like me and like Josh and Jack and people who stepped in and were able to take the lead in showing these people locally, Bristol, they're walking around today, probably back in church looking for more of what they had last week, showing them what's going on. Now, the last story is also happened last week, and it's not quite so directly like the Pentecost stories, but I wanted to share it with you anyway, and it's about a woman called Evie who, she used to be in church. I'm not sure how old she was because I wasn't there, but she used to be in church, and she had stopped coming to church, but something had led her to come back to church. And so at the end of the service, she had gone for prayer, and she was praying with my friend Mel, and said, you know, to Mel, I want to recommit myself to God, and I want to know the Holy Spirit. And Mel went to find someone else to pray with her as well, because she felt it'd be better with two of them. And as the other person was praying, Mel just had this sense, you need to pray for her skin. And Mel was looking at this lady, Evie, and she said she was standing in front of her and she had the most beautiful skin. She could see her hands and her face, and it was just glowing, healthy skin. But she had this sense, you need to pray for her skin. And she was tossing about with it because she didn't want to say, oh, can I pray for your skin? She didn't want to suggest to this lady there was anything wrong with her skin. She already had issues, didn't she? She, you know, come back to church and worrying about having disappointed God and all that sorts of things that people might. But she felt compelled to say, I want to pray for your skin. So when they finished and praying for whatever they were praying for, Mel said, Evie, I don't really know what this means, but I have this sense that I should pray for your skin. And as soon as she said it, Evie just burst into tears. And she pulled up her sleeves and her whole arms were covered in the most awful eczema. She said that all over her body, in the intimate places, eczema had, you know, it affected every part of her life as it affected every part of her body. And she said it was one of the things that had really stopped her being able to come back to God, because she thought, God, if you know me and you love me, how come you haven't healed me from this terrible eczema? And so Mel and the friend, they prayed for Evie for the eczema. Now, this was only last week, and I don't know what happened. I don't know the end of the story. But what mattered in that moment was that Evie, whether she is healed from her eczema or not, she knows that God saw her, because he told Mel that the skin was the thing. And if, as Mel said that word, Evie knew that God understood and saw. And in a way, that's kind of, I mean, I do pray that she was healed, but even if she wasn't, she knows that God saw her and understood her difficulties in that area. And I share that story now because two reasons. One is the word that Mel brought about the skin is kind of like a prophecy. And when it says in those verses that they were prophesying, that's probably the sort of thing they were doing. They weren't talking about, oh, you know, Rome's going to fall in 70 years, that sort of thing. They were calling out the truth of what was happening at the time. They were seeing into God's spiritual eyes, the things that were there. And that is sort of what Mel was doing. She could see something that God saw and other people couldn't see. And that's a kind of prophecy. And the other reason I want to share it is because I know for churches, and this is true for me too, that when people have been in church for a long time, there can be a sense of like, I've seen this before. I've raised my hopes before. I've come to God before and nothing's happened. And I think that this story says to all of us, it says to me as well, that if nothing happens, God still sees us. God saw Evie. There's no way that Mel could have known. She'd never met her before, and her skin looked perfect. And Mel is no different. Evie is no different to, like, us. We're just broken people coming to God with our fears and our doubts and our worries and our defences, just as Evie was. And God says to us, I see you. I see you each, and I see this church. And I just long for you to open your heart to me and know me in living with you. And so as we come to the end now, we're just going to have a little bit of a chance to respond in our hearts to those stories. I mean, I would love it if we became, and we are in a sense, a community where people share stories. I mean, last week Rachel Jefferson came up, she had a word, she brought something that had spoken to her in the week and shared it. And I thought about it. She was sharing about how she'd been pulling up the brambles in her garden and thinking about how easily they came up. And that was because the land had been so well cultivated in the past. And she felt that, like, spoke with this church that, you know, we've had years of cultivation in this church. So now when we're in a stage of just clearing things away and having a fresh planting in this church, that it's been easy to clear away, to make the ground ready again. You know, that's a great thing to share, and it's encouraging. And if we see some evidence of that, it's going to be encouraging as well to feel that we're on the right track. You know, it'd be great if when we have a chance for sharing stories, if people have things that you notice in amongst all those loud noises of everyday life. You see, these are almost hidden, aren't they? You've got to look for them, like looking for blackberries or something. You know, in amongst the brambles, they're there. Those little gems are there in this last week. But we've just got to pick them out, and then we bring them into prominence and use them as a way of encouraging ourselves and encouraging each other. So it doesn't have to be a story that's happened to you. It can just be a story you've heard about, like it was for me. But if you hear something, bring it along and share it and encourage us. Those stories only happened to about two people who were there, weren't they? But I'll tell you what, they've encouraged a lot of people since then. And it would be great to have a sense of that faith of what God's doing now, that we can be a part of, we can share in, we can know that we're aligned with it too. So as we come to this end part of our service, I think it would just be lovely for us to invite God here. Now God is here, and he sees us. He knows the things that hold us back, and there isn't anything that's too much for him to deal with. We can sometimes think he could deal with it in other people, but he couldn't deal with it in us. But we have to admit that we are the same as other people, so he can deal within us. And as we just take a moment now, let's pray and invite God's Spirit into our lives so that we too can be part of this ongoing story, part of the unfolding of the Pentecost event that started all those years ago. I'm going to pray, and then we'll just have some time of quiet. If nothing seems to happen, it doesn't matter. It's like Evie, if she took the risk of coming forward again, and that was what opened the door for her. And we can do that same thing. And then we'll have some music to just lift our hearts in worship before we finish with our final song afterwards. Father God, you know the hearts of each person here. We often say, to whom all hearts are known. We come before you now, each of us, and as the body of your church. And we invite you, your Spirit, to come and work in us, to come and live in us. You promise, God, to strengthen us so that we have courage to take the opportunities. You've shown us that we are known, you know us, and you love us anyway. And you, God, you have chosen and commissioned us to be part of your work on earth, working out your purposes and your plans. Father God, I pray that we will have eyes to see. May the eyes of our heart be enlightened so that we may see the riches of your grace, and that we may know the wisdom and revelation that you have for us. May we be able to see amongst all the goings on of everyday life these little gems of you at work, so that we can pick them up and hold them up and see the sparkle of your spirit in them and point other people towards it. And Lord, whichever of those stories has spoken into your heart now, we're just going to take a few moments of quiet to let the truth of it soak in.